This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
This is Adam Barillet's All Natural, the show that looks at environmental and wildlife issues and how we can live in harmony with our world just that little bit better. And they do say that love makes the world go round, and love will be very prominent on Saturday because it's Valentine's Day. Now, to talk to us a bit more about Valentine's Day, she's becoming a bit of a regular here on All Natural. She's a high priestess of the Celtic religion known as Wicca, Lady Tamara von Forson. Thank you very much for your time today.
You're welcome, Adam. How are you this wonderful morning?
I am fabulous. Now, love makes the world go round, and someone who's often kind of, I guess, associated with love is Saint Valentine. Who was he?
Well, the strange thing about Saint Valentine is that there were actually three Saint Valentines in history, but nobody really knows which one was the one that they took the name from. He gave his name to St. Valentine's Day, but in those early days of Rome, many of the saints were martyred, as you know, Joan of Arc and all those, so they were burned as heretics or witches. But the name Valentine is derived from the Latin word valens, which means worthy. So what happens is St. Valentine's Day is about a couple who are worthy to be with each other. And the celebrations of St. Valentine's Day have always been steeped in legend and mystery. Indeed, the motives behind the day's creation and even St. Valentine himself have been shrouded in controversy and doubt for a long time, especially by the Roman Catholic Church.
So what has happened in the past on Valentine's Day?
Well, St. Valentine's Day embraces a time of the year that is historically associated with love and fertility. It encompasses the sacred marriage of Zeus and Hera in ancient Athens and the ancient Roman festival of Lupercus. Now, he was the god of fertility. Now, this was a time in ancient Greece and Rome when the priests of Lupercus would perform a traditional purification ritual, and all women, so they could conceive children. Now, these were the pagan times and pagan festivals that were later adopted by Christians and turned into their own rituals. And as many are aware, a lot of the Christian ceremonies these days are actual pagan in concept.
So what happened in those rituals back in Greece and Rome?
In ancient times in Egypt, around 4,000 years ago, this was a time that was called Betrothal Day. So the 14th of February was named Betrothal Day. Now, this was the date set aside for the young maidens and men to announce their betrothal. In other words, their hand fasting, as it is called. Now, the word hand fasting has been adopted by Celts since then as a time of betrothal, wedding, even engagement. Now, the couples presented themselves to the high priestess with a red cord, and she usually wore a heart-shaped crown and carried long-stem roses, which she gave to each maiden with her blessing. Later, this ritual was performed by the village elder, the local priest, and the couple on this day made a commitment to each other for a year and a day. So it was like an engagement ceremony, and it showed all that they were serious and wanted to give their relationship a chance prior to the deeper commitment of marriage.
So it was basically a year and a day's trial to see whether they wanted to get married or not?
That's correct, and they could live as man and wife, but not actually be man and wife. And this way, then, others would accept the fact and leave them alone and not try to chat them up or, you know, carry on like that. So they were never invited to the orgies of the day.
Oh, damn.
Sure.
So they're off the market for a year and a day.
Exactly, for a year and a day. But if they, at the end of the year and the day, if they weren't happy, they'd go their own ways and find somebody else.
Okay, so what is the deep or esoteric meaning of Valentine's Day?
Well, the funny thing about this time of the year is that in ancient mystery schools, especially the schools of witchcraft, the deeper significance is taught that the marriage of the conscious to the subconscious mind, in other words, the female and male aspects of the human beings, the yin and yang, light and dark, heaven and earth, good and bad, and the focus and channeling of equally balanced energy in complete equilibrium. Now, remember that all men have the female within themselves and that all females have the male within them as well. But some who are truly blessed have the equal balance of both male and female on an equal basis between them. This is what we call the marriage of goddess and god. When this divineness is brought into balance through ritual magic and the blessing of the goddess, it is what we call the beloved oneness. So it's where mortals or man can then become goddess and god in one.
Got a bit of a side question for you. You said that, you know, every male has the feminine energy and every female has the male energy. Gay and lesbian people, would you say they're more imbalanced than the average heterosexual person?
I believe that a lot of gay people, I mean, it's like anybody. I mean, if you go back far enough, we had the macho man that was too much masculine, not enough feminine, because it was not tolerated for him to bring that forward. And then we have the women that have got too much femininity and not enough masculinity. We need that balance within ourselves to be who we are. So gay people tend to bring out that truth within themselves, lesbians in particular, as long as they don't go overboard to the extremes. And let's face it, as human beings, we all tend to go a bit overboard.
Now, St. Valentine, it's his day. What on earth happened to him in the end?
Well, his success with the people gained him unwelcome notoriety, which became his great downfall. He was jailed, beaten, and ultimately decapitated, possibly to turn the Roman minds from the licentious behaviour associated with this pagan holiday of Lupercalia. But not before he fell in love with the jailer's daughter. And the funny thing is that it is thought that on the eve of his execution, he passed a note on to her which read, "From your Valentine." Now, this story has blossomed into the defining tradition of today's Valentine's Day, and an estimated 1 billion cards are sent each year, making it the second largest card-selling holiday of the year behind Christmas.
Wow.
Now, St. Valentine was removed from the Catholic Church's list of official holidays for saints in the 1960s because little was known about the real person and what he did that made him worthy of sainthood.
Wow, so a very romantic ending, but not a very romantic ending for him, unfortunately.
No, but the thing that I think that sticks in my mind is that last note, "From your Valentine," is what we all have today, and that's something that we all say to our loved ones, you know, when we send a card or something, "From your Valentine," and it's something that someone so high in a position as a bishop became this, and then because he was taking the masses from their ways as well, you know, he sort of was decapitated. But you've got to remember at that time as well, the emperor of the time tried to forbid marriages because he believed that it wasn't good for the people when they went to war. So men who were married thought too much about their wives and women at home. So that way they tried to forbid marriages at that time when they went to battle.
Okay. Now, Valentine's Day, it's a very romantic time of year. I love the idea of this hand fasting trial type of thing. Do people were doing it in the olden days? I hate using that term, olden days. In the when people live more in tune with the earth, are people still doing hand fastings now?
Definitely. I've actually been doing weddings and hand fastings now for over 25 years and do them all around Australia. And I find that more and more people are getting more in touch with their roots, their Celtic history or their origins of who they are, and just wanting to go back to the natural formats, because a lot of weddings have become plastic. They've become copied. So every wedding is similar to the other one, where with a hand fasting, the ceremony has anything that's written that's beautiful. The poetry is beautiful. It has ancient concepts mixed with modern new concepts as well. And the greatest thing that's there is the love between two people. Male and female, female and female, male and male. I do commitment ceremonies for the same-sex couples, and I think that love is love. It doesn't matter what your shell is, it's still beautiful.
Definitely. And I believe a lot of hand fastings happen out in nature, outside.
Definitely. Well, the Church of Wicca, as you're aware, is not a big building or a shrine or anything like that. It's a large outdoors area where we gather and we honour nature, honour mankind, and honour all those things. So most of these weddings or hand fastings are done in parks, council parks, gardens, and a lot of places like that. Some are indoors if it's done during the wet season, but 95% are outdoors.
Which would make it just a little bit more beautiful, I'm sure.
Sorry, I missed that?
We should make it a little bit more beautiful, I'm sure.
It is, and we actually sprinkle the circle with petals. We create a boundary area. We consecrate it. It's quite beautiful, and a lot of them these days are wanting to go back. And the weddings, I'm doing a beautiful wedding, hand fasting on Saturday for a family, and it's all in the beautiful Celtic tartan clothing and all the ceremonial robes and regalia, so it's going to be quite spectacular and beautiful.
Now, if people want to find out more about the hand fasting rituals, you've got about 5 different websites. tell me what they are.
Well, I won't tell you all of them, but if they're interested in the hand fasting ceremonies, I have a very involved or very in-depth website, which is handfastingceremonies.com.au. And my contacts are in there as well if people wish to contact me in relation to this. And my writings are available for other people to use as well, as long as they ask for the permission to do it.
Well, Lady Tamara, thank you very much for taking the time to chat to us today and letting us know how love makes the world go around, not just today, but how it has in the past as well.
Thank you, and I hope you have a wonderful Valentine's Day or a great betrothal day, whichever you wish to choose.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Adam.
That's Lady Tamara, the High Priestess from the Church of Wicca, talking a little bit about the Celtic religion of Wicca and how their belief systems used to be around Valentine's Day. You are listening to All Natural with Adam Barillet.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.